A beautiful Tuesday in Rockford. I'm Ken DeCoster. It's my pleasure to welcome to 1330 WNTA Congressman Don Manzullo. Great to talk to you. How you doing?
Pretty good, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you in good health?
Yes.
Excellent.
Finally. It was quite an ordeal.
Before we get to the meat of the interview, Pew Research Center came out with a poll on Sunday night indicating, I think, 80% of Americans don't trust the federal government. Why is that?
Well, I think 80% is low.
Okay.
American people have no reason to trust the government, as exemplified in the disastrous approval of the so-called health care reform bill when Americans were opposed to that thing 2-3-1. And so when you take a look at Congress that's not responsive, it passes outrageous bills, and Congress itself doesn't know what's in the bills. Why should people trust the federal government?
I'm sorry.
That's brought on by the government itself, by the members of Congress themselves.
You hosted the ambassadors from Japan and Thailand on their visit
yes.
to Rockford over the weekend. Don, talk about the importance of this country building relationships with businesses in those nations, as well as China and South Korea.
Well, Ken, it was extraordinary. I'm the senior Republican on the Asian Pacific Subcommittee on International Relations, and I also sit on the Financial Services Committee that deals with the stock market and foreign economic policy. And we brought both those ambassadors to Northern Illinois for several reasons. Number one is one of the reasons is we had a outstanding forum at Rockford College yesterday for about an hour and a half, with an extraordinary opportunity for students there to personally question the ambassadors from Thailand and Japan with regard to the financial problems that those countries have been through, the lessons that Americans could have learned had we taken a look at those Asian experiences and possibly averted a lot of our own problems. Another reason was to get the Japanese ambassador thoroughly immersed on the opportunities for cargo, passenger, and manufacturing capabilities at that Rockford Airport. We spent a lot of time and a lot of money with the runways, and Bob O'Brien's done an outstanding job in constructing the air cargo facilities. And in fact, the UPS has already diverted a plane that normally would go to O'Hare is coming to Rockford, and that's the one that finds its way to China. So we want him to see what capabilities there are for Japanese cargo, and also we brought him to the Nissan forklift company in Marengo, Illinois, which is also in our congressional district, and that's a company that's owned by the Japanese. And one of the things we found out is that the management there has moved two complete lines of forklift. It's their heavy-duty one that hauls 5.5 tons, and the electric model from Japan to the United States for manufacturing here. And so it was an extraordinary opportunity for him to see how the Japanese are already invested in industries, to get a lay of the area, to look at the workforce that's available, and also the tremendous opportunities at that airport. I mean, for example, we're talking to the ambassador and his staff about loading up planes in Rockford, flying them into Tokyo or Nagoya, and then coming right back as charter airlines. You know, any number of things that can be done. And with regard to Thailand, Thailand is a country with which we've had diplomatic relations for an astounding 177 years. And, you know, it's the former Siam. And Thailand is having a very difficult time keeping its democracy. And Congressman Earl Blumenauer and I, from Earl's from the state of Oregon, the two of us formed the Thai Caucus. We now have 25 members of Congress, and we're there to encourage and work with that country to make sure that, you know, one of the few outposts of democracy in Southeast Asia remains as a democracy. It was a tremendous visit.
We're speaking with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Our phone number is 815-874-8255. Don, is the recession over, and is this going to be a jobless recovery?
Well, you can't say a recession is over when people aren't going back to work, and you can't say we're having a recovery if people aren't going back to work. I mean, it's, you know, watch out for these economists. They're always trying to put a spin on this and a spin on that. And, you know, we're seeing some good things, Ken. This is now the eighth month in a row where the Institute for Supply Management, which is the barometer for measuring growth in manufacturing, is above 50 and climbing, and is showing that that there is some recovery going on in the manufacturing sector. At least we're going in the right direction. Some people say, well, you know, people are just resupplying their inventories. Well, that's true, but progress begets progress, and that's why it's important to restart manufacturing, because there's no way we can buy ourselves out of this recession, which is what Washington has been trying to do. We have to work our way out of it through manufacturing, and that naturally puts people back to work.
Ted,
we're not out of this recession. I don't believe that.
Ted, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Ted, good morning to you.
Thank you, Kenny. And Congressman, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Talk to you.
Just heard something interesting on the previous show. They have a gentleman that calls in. It's called Herb Allen. He does a market report. And the question was asked to him about, you know, with Europe using less fuel now because of the airplanes, why is it our prices are going up? And he said, because this is speculation in the markets, and a lot of the speculation comes from London. Now, Congressman, I personally believe that the more our gas goes up, the more it winds up into our commodities, and the more it's going to hurt our economy and not going to let us get out of the hole. So my question to you is this. Is there anything that Washington, D.C. can do to change this around and maybe change this policy? Because it's not even an accurate way to determine the gas prices.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, we have the highest gas prices in the country here because of the fact that we have to mix all these different types of fuel. I think it's up to about 12 different blends that are required in areas such as St. Louis, Chicago, and Rockford. And several times we've met with the EPA to try to get them to ease off on the blends, which we don't believe are necessary. The reason for the blends was years ago, if you have a different blend in the summertime, it results in less emissions. But ethanol has come in at the 10% level that makes for the cleaner air, so there's really no need to have all that mixing going on. But the problem is, it wasn't until 2 weeks ago that President Obama announced we're going to open up offshore drilling, not on the left coast, which doesn't want it, but around Texas and off the coast of Virginia. And if you take a look at using all the capabilities that we have, a policy that uses the very type of coal that's necessary for clean coal technology. And you can't go around and slap a cap and trade bill, which would make the price of fuel go even higher, and then talk to people about the price of fuel going up as being caused by the free market system. Let me give you an example of a disaster that happened in our congressional district. Rentec is a company over on the Mississippi River in East Dubuque. That makes anhydrous ammonia, urea, different agricultural products. Natural gas is used as the feedstock. Feedstock means that it's an integral part of the end product. And about 2 years ago, they decided to use the Fischer-Tropsch process, which was developed in Germany during World War I, as a way of making diesel fuel without petroleum. And the Fischer-Tropsch process in East Dubuque would have brought in brought coal up the Mississippi River, which is very easy to ship and very cheap. It would have come from central and southern Illinois, and clean burning coal would have replaced the natural gas as the feedstock at that facility. It was an $800 million conversion, 1,000 construction workers for a considerable period of time, and it would have resulted in 200 to 300 full-time employees. But once candidate Obama mentioned in June of 2008 about a carbon tax, the financial people backing Rentec pulled the plug on it, and it absolutely destroyed what could have been the beginning of naturally green technology all the way across the top of the state.
Yeah, I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, and we only have you. Do you see any kind of immigration reform being passed this year?
I hope not. You hear the word immigration reform? Immigration reform equals amnesty. That's what they're talking about. And people are fed up with people who have come into this country illegally, and now they're pounding on the doors of Congress that they want amnesty. Reagan made the mistake himself of having the amnesty program. He said, well, the people are here. We've got to do something. And concomitant with his pledge to have an amnesty program was an equal pledge to secure the borders. That never happened. So I know there's a lot of clamor to bring it up. But what's going on now is because the health care bill passed in the face of the people and against the people's will, now the Democratic leadership knows they're going to lose tons of seats, especially in the House, and even possibly the majority. At this point, they're going to ram through anything that they want on the basis that they may already be on a suicide mission. But that's very, very dangerous, Ken.
Congressman, great to talk to you. Stay healthy, and we'll talk again soon.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
All right. 1029, 1021. We'll